Let me do as you go. This all began as a result of a book that I wrote called An Idea Whose Time Has Come. And there are copies of it back there. I don't take any money for anything that I do. They're $10, and all of the money goes to the Save Our Children Foundation, if you're interested in reading more about how all of this began. Dr. Evans wrote a book in response called Whose Idea Is This? God's or Floyd's. And I wish you would, I don't have copies of his, but I want you to read both books. That's the way I am. Read everything you can. You're intelligent and make up your own mind. God bless you. May I begin by saying that somebody said that I don't use scriptures, all that, so this is my time to do that. Alright? I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Listen to it. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. Then he said, his quote from that scripture, if the women want to know anything, let them ask their husbands at home. What happens if you don't have a husband? What happens if you don't have a husband? Who do you ask? She said, elders and deacons. I ain't got no problem with that. But he's saying, let them ask their husbands at home. And I don't know about the white church, but just about 60% now of the women in the black church don't have a husband. That right? You all know that street. Now, let me go back to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says, let your women, when they pray, their heads must be covered, and that's a sign of obedience or respect to their husband. Where did they pray? That was not in the home. That was in the assembly. But he's telling you now, you can't do that. They did it then. Hello, hello, hello. They prayed in the assembly, in the assembled church. The women prayed, and they prayed in the presence of men. Howbeit, they did have their heads covered, but nonetheless, they prayed. So they were obviously not saved. Now let me see if I can't make this thing make sense. The Corinthian letter was not some letter that Paul sent out one day and said, you know what? I think I need to write those folk over in Corinth a letter. Didn't happen that way. Somebody in Chloe's house. And Chloe, I don't know, sounds like a woman to me, but somebody in Chloe's house contacted Paul, either by letter or in some way, and shared with him some problems that they were having at that church. That letter was a response to the problems that they were having at that church at that time. What does that mean? I get sick. Go to the doctor and he diagnoses my case. I have the flu. So he gives me a penicillin shot. Now, does that mean that everybody in my family that ain't got the flu have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, rush to the hospital, get a penicillin shot just to prove that they in my family? No, I've got the problem. The people at Corinth had a problem. And most scholars, and he knows that, most scholars will tell you that in that church at Corinth, they had all kind of problems with the women shouting out and hollering out, and there was disorder. And in that, and his response to that, he said to the women, you all just keep silent. Now, he's going to tell you, well, you know, that was at that case, but you know, and it says, as in all of the churches. Well, there's some question about even that, but that is for him to deal with. Now, let me go back to something else. In Joel 2 and 28, he said, I don't know anything about the scripture. Let's look at Joel 2 and 28. Hold your finger there and then go to Acts 2. Listen to it. It shall come to pass on the last day, saith God, that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Acts 2, you read the first chapter and you have 120 people in that upper room and all that, and then to the second chapter. Peter stood, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What is this, that? Whatever that was, this is it. This is what, that? What was that? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You mean that's what this is? Yeah, this is that. It's got to be that because that's what this is. Don't try to act like you don't see this. This is that. That what? That was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did he say? He said, your son and your daughters shall prophesy. At some point, you got to acknowledge that this is that. Maybe you didn't get that one. Let's go to Acts 8. I think it might be I'm not sure what verse Brother Cheever used to say, maybe the third verse. If it's not, just read all of Acts and you run into it. Let me say this. The church was persecuted. It was attacked. And they were imprisoned. They hauled men and women off to jail. The persecution hit the church, men and women, and they went everywhere preaching the word. They who? Men and women. They who? Men and women. Where did they go? Everywhere. Who went? Men and women. Where did they go? Everywhere. Who went? Men and women. Where did the men and women go? Everywhere. What did they do? They preached the word. They preach the word. Now Philip had some daughters. They prophesied. And the word prophesy means to tell the mind of God. They did that. They did that. Why did they do that? He wanted to tell you they didn't do it in the chimney. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know what they did. I know they did, and that's good enough for me. They did that. Now, let's go back to something he said about the beginning, you know, and how that in the beginning, God, this man and this woman, well, it wasn't the one man and one woman. And who else was Adam going to be over? Listen, don't park your brains out. That's just your car. Who else was he going to be over? He was never over any woman but his own. And ain't no man in here over any other woman but his own. At least he ain't supposed to be. Go ahead and write that down. Now let me tell you what's going on in the brotherhood. In California, just this last weekend, preachers and churches of Christ getting together. And they invited four women, two blacks and two whites, to speak for the first time at a retreat that is growing, because they know that the winds of change are blowing and you are not going to stop it. And I want to talk about my sister. Some of you know Sylvia. I named her, by the way. By any standard she pull out, she's brilliant. That's my sister, but she's brilliant. She wrote Mansion, Robe, and a Crown, Holy Spirit, Restore My Soul, All of My Trials, 250 songs. She got sick. She was having problems. She went to the doctor. And the doctor couldn't find anything physically wrong with her, and he suggested that she talk to a Christian psychiatrist. Well, she was reluctant at first, but then she finally agreed to go. And he talked to her a while and asked all about family and everything. And finally he said to her, "Why do you go to church?" She said, "Oh, I'm a member of the Church of Christ." He said, "Well, that's what's wrong with you." Now, wait, don't look, I didn't say that'd be funny. Here's what he meant by that, and he explained it to her. He said, "You have so much talent. You have so much ability. God has blessed you with so much. And you're in a situation where you can't do anything with it. And that's what your problem is." Look at her now. She can't all clean it up. It's beautiful. She's preaching now. Recently ordained in New York. And she has her own ministry in Detroit now. Free. My wife, my first wife, Ann, was an A student at Southwestern Christian College. And while she was there, wrote sermons for other preachers. We came here, got married here, and one night I was away in a meeting, and the men said to her, "Brother Burns from the Ridgewood Church of Christ," said, "Brother Rose not here, and Sister Rose went to Southwestern, and she knows more about the Bible than the rest of us. Why don't she just teach the class?" I didn't ask them to do that when I left, but that's what they did. She taught the class. I came back next week or two. And everybody was just talking about how Ann taught the Bible class and how she got everybody involved. And I said to them that night, I said, "Wait a minute, when I'm talking, y'all don't say anything." And one brother said, "Well, Brother Rose, you know what? We just figure you know, so we just don't ask you anything." The lady said, "Just a minute, Brother Rose. I'm going to just tell you the truth. Your wife is a better teacher than you." Can you imagine in this room right here tonight? These women in this room right here tonight. All that knowledge, all that ability, all that talent. But they got to sit there. And they can sit there sometimes and know that the brother ain't got it. But you just say, "Well, I would say something, but I'm a woman." Oh, my God. One more. I was in Newnan, Georgia. I met somebody from Newnan tonight. Newnan, Georgia. White church again. That's where most of my calls come from now. But anyway, this white church in Newnan, Georgia. And when the thing was over, the white preacher said to me, "Brother Rose, I want to tell you something you might find interesting." He had read my book, and his wife had read it. He said, "When my little girl was about 6 years old, she would always follow me to the back of the church, and when people would come by, you know, she would shake hands, and then one day she said, 'Daddy, Daddy, I want to be a preacher just like you when I grow up.'" And he said, "Well, now, honey, you can't be a preacher." She said, "Why?" She said, "Because you're a girl." He said she was so devastated she never came back there again. And when she got to be 16, she asked him if she could go to church with her friends. And she went somewhere else where she could use her gifts and her talent and her ability. And I'm telling y'all, we're losing people. There was a time when you left the Church of Christ, you didn't go anywhere else because you thought you'd go to hell. All that's gone now. They're leaving every day and they're going to other churches. I know it, you know it, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, that's the reality. Because people are going where they can use their gifts and their talents. And it should be that way. I've got 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, when this is over, you're going to leave here. Some of you say, "Oh, you didn't quote enough scriptures." Like Pat did. He quoted all those scriptures. But you're going to go home just like they did when I got through discussing this stuff with Jack in 1984. You're going to go home. You're going to think about it. You're going to think about it. And you're going to put on a hat that I call common sense. And you're going to say, "Wait a minute. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. There is something. I may not be able to put my finger on it, but something down inside of me says there's something wrong here. God has made all of us to be progressive. We go from slavery to freedom. We do it whether it's in race, relationship, or whether it's when it comes to women. We go from slavery to freedom. Think about it. Just think about it. You've got women governors. You've got women presidents of boards of education. Women who sit on city council. President of the city council. You've got women who are mayors. Women who are judges. Women who are senators. Congresswomen. And also they'll be running for the president of the United States. They're in positions every day where they make life and death decisions for men every day in this country. It wasn't like that earlier, but it's like that now. And yet, when you come to church, the place that ought to stand for truth and freedom of everybody, where their gifts ought to be able, or where their gifts should be allowed to flourish and develop, when they come here, they can't even march people down the aisle and show them a seat. I love you all. Think about it.